you can't have a business inside a club or outside a club or online if you don't know how you're going to grow your audience, how you're going to market yourself.
Hi there. Welcome to the Business Side of Fitness podcast. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Each week on the show, I leverage my 2 decades of experience in the fitness and wellness industry to have meaningful conversations with the movers and shakers behind some of the most well-known and innovative brands in our industry. This show is brought to you by Vanessa Severiano, LLC. To find out more about working with me, click the link in the show notes. And now the time has come to start the show. Everyone's got a story, and it's time to hear from this week's guest. Let's welcome to the show Amy Boone Thompson. She has nearly 3 decades under her belt as a career fitness professional. Amy is the co-founder of the National Women's Basketball League, founder of In-N-Out Fitness Solutions, Four Seasons Yoga, and is now the owner and CEO of Idea Health and Fitness Association. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. It is a pleasure to be on your show, finally.
I'm excited to have you here and to dive into your background because you have, I feel like, is there anything that Amy hasn't done? So just to kick things off, why don't you share a bit about your backstory and what ultimately led to you becoming the CEO and owner of Idea Health and Fitness?
I would love to. Your show's not long enough to go into too much detail, but I'll keep it super high level. Okay. So I did out of college, I started as a personal trainer and absolutely loved training. I built a clientele very quickly. I studied athletic training and physical education, and that really allowed me to bring a lot of skills to my training sessions that my clients appreciated. I was doing recovery long before it became wildly popular for trainers. And then I was also a certified massage therapist. So I was really able to build a clientele very quickly by addressing my clients holistically. I moved to San Diego in like 1997. So this would have been after college. And I moved to San Diego. And then I joined IDEA because they were based here in San Diego. But I was working at a premier health club, and I had an opportunity to start the basketball league there. That's when I ran the National Women's Basketball League, which was right when the women's NBA started. And it was allowing women who had finished college to be seen and to get recruited and to play in the women's NBA. And also at that time, I had my first opportunity to become a fitness manager. And that was a big turning point in my career because it really allowed me to have bigger impact in my gym and in my community and helping more trainers to reach more people. And I just absolutely started to thrive and love the space of teaching trainers the business of fitness and helping them to really grow their own practice and again, reach more people. So I held several national positions with a couple of different companies, leading personal training, overseeing Pilates, Group X, a variety of programming. And then fast forward to, I had another pivotal time in my career where I wanted to broaden my experiences. And so I very deliberately looked for a role in the supplier side of the business. And that's when I found Les Mills. And so at that point, I really got to start working with fitness globally, but also I started to really have a different perspective about what clubs needed, what owners and operators needed, and then also what the practitioners in our clubs needed by way of education and how to set them up to succeed. And that leads me to IDEA. I was contacted by a recruiter. They were looking for a VP GM to lead this wonderful organization. And so I accepted that role. I had left California. I came back to California and I was leading IDEA for the last several years, almost 3 years. I started right before the pandemic. So lots of leadership lessons that I've been through. But one of the greatest blessings of the pandemic was really just for IDEA to figure out who we were. We were part of two private equity groups since the founders had sold the association. And now I bought the association back from the private equity group. So it is an independently owned association again, where we feel we are best suited to fulfill our mission.
Wow. So many twists and turns there. And so, Amy, why do you feel like you're well positioned now as a private owner to help fitness professionals more so than with PE backing?
Yeah, great question. Well, don't get me wrong, the backing was fantastic. So, but I would say that, you know, all of the brands in our portfolios in those equity groups were consumer-facing brands. So we had brands, our sister brands were Yoga Journal and Oxygen Magazine. And so while our pros had opportunity to reach the consumer through those outlets and through those mediums, we really had our own needs as a pro-facing organization that weren't being addressed because we were so heavy consumer facing, and that was the business model. So, and the business model is thriving for those different organizations. So moving forward, I think we're best positioned because, you know, IDEA is the global leader for the practitioner. So our audience is anybody, a fitness professional, group X instructor, nutritionist, health coach, athletic trainer, strength and conditioning coach. Or if you are an owner, a studio owner, a business owner who employs those professionals or has them as contractors, or if you want to reach that audience, IDEA really is this hub where you can reach the practitioner and we provide them with everything they need to be successful. So I feel like that's why we're best positioned. We can really hone in on our mission, and that is to inspire the world to fitness. But we do that through our pros.
That makes a lot of sense. And I feel like, you know, just in the last couple years, there's been a huge shift. And from what I've observed, I mean, fitness professionals have been very agile and quick to pivot from the in-person experience to the digital experience. But now I feel like it's kind of shifted again. We're seeing a lot of these digital fitness offerings, you know, kind of peter out, not necessarily be as successful as they were, you know, a year and a half or 2 years ago. And so where does that leave the fitness professional now and moving forward?
Yeah, great question. And I also want to point out that I will be maintaining a very strong strategic partnership with our former owners at Outside. So our pros will still have that channel and vehicle to reach the professionals via some of these platforms. So I'll just table that to the side. Yeah, what we're hearing from our pros is exactly what you said. Like the majority of them, whether they train at a club or five clubs or in their garage or at a park or in their living room, they all have tried virtual training. They were forced to. For some, they have said, you know, that's really not for me. And for others, they now have thriving businesses where they're exclusively training online. So I think, you know, as we look forward and we're supporting our pros in their growth and development, we would be anyone who believes that virtual fitness is leaving or we're going back to in-person completely is disillusioned, because virtual fitness has been here and people have had access to digital fitness for many, many years. And our consumers telling us that they, in some cases, prefer it over the in-person in combination with the in-person experience. And some people don't prefer it at all. So there's a place for it in our ecosystem. And to the degree the professionals and the club owners embrace that in their business model is completely up to them. But it is an option for us to reach more people now. And I think that's really exciting, to be honest.
I think it's very exciting, but I think sometimes people can get kind of like stretched very thin and they're not sure how to, right? Delivering an in-person experience versus delivering a great online experience or virtual experience are two kind of different skill sets, right? The set, the lighting, the sound, the music, it's all, you know, even the queuing is so different. And so sometimes I see people trying to be everything to everybody, which can be really overwhelming as a fitness pro. You know, it's like, I give my heart and soul to this. I just want to do a good job. I want to have a lucrative business. And so how is IDEA setting people up for success through education or other platforms to really kind of know which business model is best for them?
Yeah, great observation. And I think you're right. Like, again, it isn't for everybody, and they are very different skill sets that pros are utilizing. So we're addressing their needs in a variety of ways. First and foremost, we have in online IDEA offers over 900 video courses. And more recently, we've been recording a lot of courses that are specifically related to online business. Our last two virtual conferences, we had a lot of our program was dedicated to the virtual space and teaching trainers how to provide that five-star experience virtually. So we have a lot of recorded content that's available where people can go in and earn a certificate in online, building an online business, et cetera, et cetera. The second way we're meeting the needs of the professionals is at our in-person events, which I know we want to talk about here, but we have two events. One is really focused on the personal trainer, and that's a smaller event in February each year. And then our world event happens in the summer. And that's where we bring together the entire industry and thousands of fit pros together, learning the next best, greatest, how to be better, learning from all of the best presenters in the world. And then the last way that we're really helping them to succeed is that IDEA believes in sourcing all the best providers that exist in a specific space. So we're bringing all the best platform providers and working with those suppliers to put them in front of our audience, first to vet them to make sure that they are top quality and they're legitimate companies. And then we put those companies and position them in front of our audience so they have a variety of choices when it comes to picking the suppliers that they choose to work with.
I love that you do the work of vetting these providers, because nothing breaks my heart more than seeing these, you know, quote unquote gurus online targeting fitness professionals with gimmicky offers, and then, you know, that not necessarily leading anywhere. So, Amy, you mentioned a phrase earlier that really kind of like set off a ding, ding, ding in my mind, and that was the business of fitness. I think so many people think of fitness as like a hobby or like a cute side job, but those of us that have been in this industry for decades know that there's a complete a business side to all of this, and especially if you're looking at this with longevity in mind. And so if you were to explain the business of fitness to somebody, how would you do so?
Yeah. And so I'll start by saying when I was in the 1990s, when I first came to the industry, that was the biggest epiphany I had. I got these trainers who they knew their anatomy and they knew movement and they knew how to program and cue, but they had no clue how to attract a clientele, how to retain a clientele, how to market themselves inside of a club or outside of a club. So when I think of the business of fitness, those are the elements that I've really focused on through my entire career, is helping professionals to understand that again, regardless of where you're offering your service, this is your business, this is your career. And that means that you first of all, treat it like a career. And that means that you do need to prospect. You do need to have, to the degree you have a sales presentation, you are selling your product every single day that you have an opportunity to be in front of a client or in front of prospective clients. So really thinking about your marketing and your community, thinking about how are you going to retain your business year after year? And then also just helping professionals to think backwards about, you know, a lot of people leave the industry because they don't make the money that they thought they were going to make. So we start with the goal in mind and then obviously work backwards as to the productivity that needs to take place to reach that goal. So again, that's really where for the last couple of decades I've been focusing my career, is on helping professionals treat this as a career and as a real profession, and helping them to gain skills in some of those areas that they may not have picked up in their primary certifications.
That makes so much sense. And when we talk about longevity, and once you've established yourself with these business skills, you know, they're age does have a factor, right? For those of us that have worked in the clubs and in the studios and servicing clients, you're on your feet It's a long hours, a lot of time. It can be exhausting. It's all wonderful and great. We do it because we love it. But as we age, what are some options for fitness professionals as they kind of start reaching that sunset point of their career? Because that when you mentioned that a lot of people leave the industry, that's when I think of my friends that are older, that have been in the industry for a long time, and they're just like, I can't do this anymore. And they end up leaving and going into real estate or something like that, which kind of breaks my heart because I feel like that's not their true passion, but they just can't figure out what to do next. So what type of advice would you give to a fit pro facing that situation?
Yes. So we actually are doing a career series, a webinar series on for our IDEA members that focuses exactly on what you just talked about. So we talk to professionals who have had success, meaning longevity, right? So they've been in the industry for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And we talk to them about their pathway. And I can tell you that no two pathways look the same. And there are, just as you described my career of twists and turns, every professional that we've interviewed for the career series will tell you of just all the different opportunities that presented themselves and they would choose to take that opportunity or not, and usually gain the skills they needed while they were on the ground and running and making this opportunity work. So I would say that's the first thing I would say is no two paths look the same. But there are so many opportunities in our space right now. There are people who are writing for fitness. There are people who are producing videos. And now, especially with the online platforms, there's a whole bunch of people who are in production. There are people who program all day long. All they do is program for other trainers to go out and execute workouts. So there's just a variety of places for you to broaden your expertise and really hone in once you find something that lights you up and fires you up. But I can also tell you, I'm going to use a trainer that I had in 1997, who was in the grind, one of our full-time trainers. And in this story, back then, we believed you had to be a fitness manager. That's the next logical step, because of course you wanted to be on salary and of course you wanted benefits. So every trainer must be aspiring to be a fitness manager. So I would meet with my trainers regularly, and Victor is the trainer I'm thinking of. And I would pull him in and say, what's next for you? Like, I don't want you to burn out. I see you've been doing this for so many years and you're our top trainer and I just don't want you to burn out. And he would say, Amy, this is it for me. I don't want to do anything else. So this was over 20 years ago. I moved back to San Diego and I looked Victor up. He is still training full time and he loves it. And he's so happy and fulfilled. So there are people who it just fires them up to train people all day long. And there are other people who need to fill their jobs with a lot of more variety. But I would say to anyone thinking about leaving the industry, there is longevity, there are salaries, people are getting paid very well in our space. So listen to our series or look at all the different types of careers that have evolved in our industry over the last several years.
Those are such good points. And I do know some Victors out there that are just for lifers. And there's, you know, it's good to point out that, you know, there's something different for everybody. And you're right. I know people that have gone in so many different directions of former colleagues and whatnot, but it does make me happy when I see people that are really passionate about the industry, figuring out a way to make it work. And so with all these education offerings and your upcoming IDEA World Convention coming up in July in Vegas, what can people expect when they attend the convention? And what's the process of putting one of these events together? Like, it can't be easy.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So first of all, it's not my first time planning events, but this is my first in-person event with IDEA in 3 years because we've been virtual. So it takes us literally a year to plan this world event. If you've never attended an IDEA World, we call it the Super Bowl of Fitness because it is 4 days plus two pre-con days filled with all the workouts you can possibly do, plus sessions so there's workouts, but there's also lectures, and we address, there are tracks for every aspect of your development. So there are tracks for mind, body, Pilates, And there are tracks for the group exercise space, and there are tracks for the business space, and there are literally tracks for everything you might want to learn going on across the main 4 days of education. And then in addition to that, two of the days, we're also doing the fitness and nutrition expo. So there's a wellness expo going on. And this is where there's going to be over 300 suppliers coming together to showcase what's the latest in apparel, what's the latest in nutrition, what are all of the cool new toys that you can use on the fitness floor. And then, of course, the big equipment manufacturer companies will be there as well. And they cannot wait to get in front of the trainers again, because, you know, some of these companies have had a really challenging time during the pandemic when they have a product you really have to touch and feel. So the expo is all about trying stuff, making buying decisions for yourself, for your own business, for your club chain, whatever the case may be. We have the opening ceremonies going on, which is where we have a keynote speaker and we give away the Jack LaLanne Award. Jack's wife, Elaine, is 96, and she will be on stage presenting this year's award. And the recipient is Billy Blanks, because of his immense contributions to our industry and getting so many millions of people moving using his platform. He's giving a Taibo workout at the event so people can participate in that. And then back to the ceremonies, we give out the industry's most coveted awards, which are Personal Trainer of the Year, Instructor of the Year, Leader of the Year, and we have a new award this year called the Emerging Trailblazer, which is where we're spotlighting someone who is making significant impact in our industry, having only been in the industry 3 years. So those are just a few of the things going on, but it's really mind-blowing that, you know, we're expecting 5,000 fitness professionals, which is small for us, but we set our goals post-pandemic goals. We want to try to get at least 5,000 people here.
Wow, there's so much going on. And I think, you know, I would implore people that are also feeling stuck to attend, because sometimes when I feel like low on energy, or I just kind of feel like I've lost connection with that passion because of whatever, and you get around other people that live that life that really fills your cup. It like re-energizes you, it reinvigorates you, it gets you going again. And so, you know, if you are one of those people that's just kind of gone through so many struggles with the pandemic and whatnot, and you're not sure what to do with your business, I definitely urge you to attend and get around other professionals. Cause I feel like when you're able to connect with other people going through the same things, it really like boosts your energy levels. So Amy, if you were, you know, if a fitness professional was saying, you know, there's so much going on, there's so many opportunities, I'm just kind of trying to take it one step at a time, what is the one thing you would implore a fitness professional to add to their tool belt? What is the one area that they should invest their time and money into as far as education?
Wow, I've never been asked this question before. You know what? I'm gonna tell you the same response I give to my daughter who's thinking about what she'll study in college. And that is that every fitness professional needs to hone their, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You can't have a business inside a club or outside a club or online if you don't know how you're going to grow your audience, how you're going to market yourself. So I would say start with just your business basics. And again, at ideafit.com, we have hundreds of courses on business and articles that you can read that will help to hone those skills. But those skills will really be your foundation for you to be able to do what you love for your lifetime or for the length of time you choose to have this profession. Treat it like a business, respect it like a business, and work it like a business, and you will be wildly successful in most cases.
I love that. Yeah, you have to follow your passion, but I think sales and marketing is, you know, that's it for me, because I feel like even though a lot of fitness professionals kind of cringe when they hear those words, it doesn't have to be cheesy, but you do have to be able to market yourself. You do have to feel confident in your offering and be able to ask for the sale, whether that's you're selling a personal training package or you're renewing somebody or you're asking somebody to sign up for one of your classes. You have to be able to ask for that with confidence. And I think that's a skill that really applies towards anything in life. So, Amy, I guess if there's one thing right now with when you're looking back on the last couple of years, the way that we do business, our industry, so our world, really, everything has changed so much. Is there anything in particular that stands out in your mind where you're like, wow, that kind of surprised me and I didn't see that coming?
I kind of did see this coming, but it's bigger than I had imagined. And I think that we're just at the very brink of what's to come. And that is this mental health crisis that is going to follow this pandemic. So early in the pandemic, you know, I was just using my own family and my own employees as a learning environment, but I was hearing how alone people felt and how isolated people felt. And you mentioned it with pros in their business. We're hearing that loud and clear. They're feeling so alone and disconnected from their industry. But the same is true for our customers and for our clients. More than ever, people are feeling alone. I see it with my teenagers. There is a mental health crisis happening in our schools, with our children, and even with our adults. So for FIP, we can't diagnose, we can't prescribe, but we can listen, and we can surround ourselves with professionals that we can refer to. And we are the front line. And oftentimes when we could start to realize that something's changed or something's different with our client. So refer and be aware and listen and take that extra step to help your clients in a more holistic way than we ever have before would be my biggest advice. And then I also say for you, the pro, take care, you know, you need to take care, have self-care habits, and you really need to be thinking about your own mental health as well. So that's what I saw coming, but not to the degree that I'm seeing it now. And I think that we'll see in the future.
I think you're so right. And those of us that have been on the front line are kind of nodding our heads, right? Because I mean, at the end of the day, haven't the instructors and the trainers been the people to motivate and inspire people, you know, all this time? Trainers are, I always joke with my friends that are trainers, like you're a therapist more than you are a trainer, because you're really giving people the opportunity to be heard. But I think that's a great point. Like, and it's kind of like a call to arms for us in the fitness industry. Like, we're needed now more than ever. And yes, the way that we do business is different than it used to be, but it doesn't mean that we're not needed. And we can't, you know, I think sometimes I hear from fitness professionals like, oh, there's these, you know, I can't compete with Apple Fitness. I can't compete with Peloton, but you can have that two-way conversation with people. And like you were saying, you can hold people accountable. Hey, I noticed you haven't been in class in the last few weeks. Are you okay? What's going on? How can I help and support you? And I think that's something for us to keep top of mind as we all kind of navigate these challenges. And what you mentioned earlier is true. You know, like for fitness pros that are used to getting that energy exchange from people in the clubs and in the studios, and maybe they've pivoted and they're doing business online, and it's just, you don't get that same energy exchange. It's a little different. You can still be of such huge value and you can still fill people's cups. So there's so much there in the mental health. And it's ironic that this is Mental Health Awareness Month right now in May. So great point, Amy. And for somebody starting out in fitness, where would you point them to start? If somebody is, you know, I've heard of a lot of people that are exiting corporate jobs and kind of reevaluating themselves and thinking like, hey, I need to really follow my true passion for work. Where would you implore them to begin a career in fitness?
I love that question. And yes, I think we will see more people changing careers and coming to fitness, just like people may choose to leave. But so again, at ideafit.com, we in our career development series, we have a whole section that we've dedicated to helping people navigate this point where they're considering or contemplating a career in fitness. But one of those first steps is really for them. I often say, you know, sit back and think about what you're envisioning from your career. Are you envisioning what kind of setting are you in? What kind of client are you working with? And then once they have kind of an idea of where they want what they want that business to look like and who they want to work with, more importantly, there are a variety of certifying agencies that are accessible to them. So I do want to clarify for your audience, IDEA does not certify personal trainers. We founded ACE, American Council on Exercise, and then our founders sold ACE and it became a nonprofit and its own entity. But we no longer certify. And the reason we do that is so we can be the umbrella for the entire industry's continuing education needs. So where we really see ourselves supporting Fit Pros in that journey is once you obtain your primary certification or you've graduated from your college program, then we become your partner through the rest of your career and pointing you to opportunities, filling those gaps that you may have in your learning. We talked about the business skills, but there are so many different gaps where you may not have had exposure or experiences. So that's where IDEA can help any person considering a career in fitness. And then again, my personal advice is interview a lot of people who are in this space. Talk to them, go shadow people for a day at a club or in a clinical environment and try a bunch of different settings to see what feels good for you and ask them a lot of questions about how they started their business. That might lead to a mentorship for you, which would be a great way for you to grow your business throughout your career. So those are just a few of the things I would recommend.
Great advice, Amy, and mentorship really is invaluable. When you look back on your career of almost 30 years in the fitness industry, I mean, it's amazing how much you've accomplished, but when you think back, what's that one accomplishment that really sticks out to you that you really feel proud of?
It's the one that just happened 3 weeks ago. Buying IDEA Health and Fitness is an absolute dream come true for me. And I became part of this association in 1997, and I was always a member. I attend all but two events when I was pregnant with my children. And I was an author, a presenter for IDEA for so many years. Then having led the association and now owning the association is an absolute dream come true and highlight for me.
It's really come full circle for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you were to think back, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, what piece of advice do you wish you would have received?
I was in a variety of cultures as a leader where I was conforming my leadership style to the culture of those organizations. And I was still successful. Those were stepping stones for me. So I was a chameleon in a sense where I could adapt and I could work within those cultures to accomplish my goals. But what I would tell my younger self and what I would tell any leader, particularly women who feel that they are often, that the soft skills they bring to their leadership are not respected or effective, I would tell you, and I would tell my younger self that that's exactly why I was successful as a leader. It was my soft skills. It was my compassion. It was my empathy. Those were the things I brought that were my secret sauce that often I wasn't encouraged, or in fact, I was discouraged from using those skills in my leadership and to grow my teams and to energize and to motivate my personal training managers and my GMs. Those are the exact reasons I'm effective. So that's what I would tell my younger self and to anybody out there who's struggling to conform to a culture that does not fit. Be yourself, be your authentic self.
Ooh, good one. I maybe needed to hear that today. Thank you so much, Amy. If somebody's interested in connecting with you or they want to learn more about the IDEA Health and Fitness Association, how can they do that?
Yeah. So our URL, our website is ideafit.com. And there you can see everything that's happening for IDEA World, our membership. We have liability insurance. Everything you need as a Fit Pro is there for you. So I would say go to ideafit.com. If you're trying to connect with me personally, I am an avid networker and I would absolutely love that. I usually engage in LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is Amy Boone Thompson. Instagram is Amy Boone Thompson. And Facebook is Amy Boone Thompson, although I'm leaving Facebook a little more these days.
Oh, I hear that. Separating from social media sometimes helps. Well, thank you so much, Amy. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vanessa. I appreciate it.
Hi, everyone. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Thanks for tuning into this episode. If it brought you value, please subscribe, review, and share the Business Side of Fitness podcast. If you'd like to learn more about working with me, please click the link in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.